Well, we are in Acts chapter 1. We've started our series several weeks ago. We've had an intro, and then we've covered the first four verses there. And the title of that message was Waiting for the Promise. And I'm going to continue that message tonight. It's message number two, if you will, and Waiting for the Promise. And we understand what that promise was. What was the promise, church? The Holy Spirit. That was the promise that had been given by the Lord Jesus, but He has given a command for them to go and wait for it. And so it's a waiting time. It's a waiting period that we see. It probably seems going to seem like an eternity for the apostles there, but in all reality, as Jesus is going to say, it is a lot sooner than you think. And let me remind you and remind us tonight that things that you are waiting on and that God will bring, it'll be here much sooner than you think. I was just thinking about heaven this morning with the men as we were singing, I think, Amazing Grace, and just talking about how we will be there, you know, as 10,000 years, and of course, for all eternity in singing. And the Lord just reminded me that folks, none of us are in a hurry to get to heaven. We long for it. We're looking forward to it. I understand that. But may we be reminded that it's going to be here really soon. This is just a little flash of time that God has given us here on this earth as pilgrims. We're passing through, and we're waiting for our call, God's, you know, going to do that in His perfect timing. And hopefully we'll all get to be a part of the rapture. Amen? And, you know, if you're still here, you just continue through the book of Acts as we continue, okay? If you're still here, you'll get that later. All right, but we are grateful again for what God is doing as we study this book, and these apostles are waiting, and they are longing and going to ask some questions as we talked a little bit about last time. But here we pick up in verse 5, and I want to be brief tonight with the Lord's help. And just cover verse 5, because I do want to present the New York City missions trip to you. But let's look there at Acts chapter 1, verse number 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Let's pray. Father, we ask You to help us tonight to understand Your Word, but not just to understand it, Lord God. Help us to apply it, and Lord, how it may affect us and strengthen us and empower us to do Your precious holy will. God, thank You for what You're doing in our church. We give You all the glory. Lord, we give You all the credit. And Lord, we just want to be careful to always magnify You. And so we ask these things even tonight in Jesus' name, amen. Waiting for the promise, and we get here to talk about what Jesus is talking about in verse number 5, the baptism of the Spirit. Look there with me. First of all, I want to look at what is referred to as John's baptism, or as Jesus says here in verse number 5, for John truly baptized with water. What does he mean by that? We see that this idea of John baptizing with water, it's mentioned seven times. Only seven in all of the New Testament. Seven times. Four of which John will use in the direct context of him talking about he will baptize with water, but Jesus Christ will come and baptize with the Spirit. So that's four. And there are others used, and one is used, and two more used in the book of Acts. It's actually in Acts chapter 19. It's referred to as John's baptism. And I'll mention more about that here in just a moment. But I want to just sort of define what exactly was John's baptism. We'll remember, and we'll get there eventually. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get to chapter 19, but when we get there, we'll discuss it in more detail of what those Old Testament saints, really that's what they were. They were still Old Testament saints. They had been baptized by John, but they had not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. They were believers in the Messiah to come, but they had not yet realized that Jesus was the Messiah and that He had died. And so there was that, again, transitional book. We'll talk more about that at another time. But this thing of John, John was baptizing, as a ministry that God had given him. You remember John the Baptist was announcing that, the Lord Jesus would come. How did John the Baptist define himself? What was that terminology that he used? He said he was a what? What was that? I can't hear you. A voice. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he was that what we call forerunner. He was going before Jesus, and as he was preaching in Judea and that surrounding area, what would happen is as he was preaching repentance. But you'll remember at this time, Jesus had not gone to the cross and died, but he was preaching that trust the Messiah. He's coming. I'm preparing the way for Him. I'm going before Him. He is coming, and He is going to do exactly what He promised. And He would tell those Jews out there as He was preaching to them, He'd say, hey, y'all need to repent. And by way of repentance, and by way of their confession of their sins, John the Baptist would baptize them. And so that was an indication of their faith that the Messiah was indeed coming. And so they would that was an identifying sign, if you will, with John's ministry, John the Baptist's ministry. And it's going to be different than a Christian baptism. We're going to have Christian baptisms, Lord willing, a week from today. And it's very different from what this baptism is talking about, John's baptism. This was indeed in a transitional time, and it was again making a way for the church where the Holy Spirit would come and baptize in a different way than we see here what John is talking about. It was preparatory, if you will. It was preparatory for the cleansing that would come as they lived in expectation of the coming Messiah. And then when we get to the Holy Spirit, it was different because it was no longer looking forward. Again, they were looking back on what the Holy Spirit, He had come. Jesus had ascended. The Holy Spirit had come and they received Him in fullness. And that is where we see here the baptism of the Spirit. So we see, first of all, John truly baptized with water. It was a ministry of God, but it was significant that we see the difference. And now let's look at this doctrine here in verse number 5, talking about the baptized with the Holy Ghost. Ye shall be baptized. All right. So what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, let me make a statement here. If you understand the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is a work, I must say right off the bat, it is a work of grace, just like salvation. Okay? That's foundational. Because if you get into a thinking or a teaching where you earn the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or as we see here, that comes as a false teaching. It can turn into a false teaching very quickly, because the Bible does not teach us to earn the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It comes with salvation. It is an act of grace. You'll remember in Titus, we just studied in chapter 3, Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness. Again, it's giving very clear description of how we obtain salvation. Well, it's also going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. It says, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's Titus chapter 3, verse 5. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ is not only the great atoner, but He is the great baptizer. And we need to remember that, because in John chapter 1, John would make reference to that. In John chapter 1, verse 33, John says, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he," talking about Jesus, "which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." You see, this baptism of the Holy Spirit is done through Jesus Christ. It is because that He came and died and rose again and would ascend, because the Holy Spirit could come and do exactly what He had planned to do. The thought of John is that this Savior, the Lord Jesus, would give them the divine sanctifier. That's the Holy Spirit of God. What are some of the things that the Holy Spirit would do? Well, we know it would do a refining work. It would do kindle a desire for God. It would illuminate our minds and our souls to heavenly wisdom, to understanding of this book. There were so many things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, and that is what it's going to talk about: the baptism of the Spirit of God. It's for the service of the Savior. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it happens on the day of salvation. Now, you have to remember, the baptism of the Spirit was a permanent gift. It's a permanent gift. Again, it doesn't go away. It's a permanent gift, and it signified that the Messiah had come, and a new era called the church age had begun. So remember, when we think of the baptism of the Spirit, remember, it's referring to, just like salvation, it's a gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. It has been given unto us. He has been given unto us. And He's not leaving. Amen? I don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit leaving me now that I'm His. Now, unfortunately, I leave Him a lot. And we don't like to, you know, talk about that, but it does happen. And we do as a church. That's what we do. We try to work on that, don't we, church? We try to work on that daily. We don't want to leave Him. We don't want to grieve Him. But the fact of the matter is, He will never leave me. He is there. He is sealed into the day of redemption. If God calls me home or the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit is there. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. You will not find the command in Scripture to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will find the command to walk in the Spirit. You will find the command to be filled with the Spirit. And so we need to understand that there is a difference. That it does indeed happen upon the day of salvation. And that's something we need to rejoice in, friends. We need to rejoice in that gift. And it was coming. They had never experienced anything like this. The Holy Spirit came upon them. He had come upon them for a certain work, and then He would leave. But this is going to be brand new. The Holy Spirit's going to come home to stay. He was going to come home, and He wasn't going anywhere. He was going to take residence. And that is the beautiful thing about Pentecost. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit came and indwelt the believers and became a permanent presence in the life of the believer and the life of the New Testament church, just like He's working tonight. I can stand and preach the Word of God tonight because of the Holy Spirit, not the power of Brinson Jennings. You're here tonight to worship and sing unto the Lord and hear the Word of God and understand it and make application. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. He's working tonight. He's teaching. He's leading. He's drawing. He's correcting. And He's comforting. And we praise Him for that. We thank Him for that. So you see here, when we'll get into more of that as we get into Pentecost to talk about some of those details of the baptism of the Spirit. But just, we need to understand that we don't need to go through life looking to be continuously baptized by the Spirit. Again, it's going to be mentioned in Corinthians as in the form of doctrine, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and I'll mention that here in just a moment. But the fact of the matter is, it happens upon salvation. So can I just ask you this tonight? If you're saved, you need to realize you've been baptized by the Spirit of God. What does that mean? That means that He has taken residence in your life. That means that He has come to you and He is now your guide, your comforter, and He's your God. And He is to tell you, and then we'll talk about how we listen to Him, but the fact of the matter is, He's there. He's not going anywhere. You're not going to lose Him. That's the baptism of the Spirit. Can you earn the baptism of the Spirit, church? No. No. We can't earn that. It's an act of grace. It's a gift from God. He gave it to us on the day of our birth. I guess you could call it was a birthday present. Amen. Never thought of it like that, but I guess you could say, not only did we receive eternal life as a gift, but He gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I rejoice in that tonight, and I hope you do. And He's wanting to do a work, and one thing I wanted to grow in here at the Creek, I want to grow in allowing Him to have more and more control. Amen. So then it goes on to say here in verse 5, it says, baptized with the Holy Ghost, but then He uses this statement, not many days hence. There's some good King James English there for you, basically saying, it's coming soon, boys. And in fact, to be totally accurate here, it's going to be about 10 days. Because you'll remember, Pentecost does indeed stand for the 50th day. Day 50, and so you had 40 days of Christ on the earth after the resurrection. You have the ascension, and from the point of the ascension, you would have 10 days. And that 10 days is where we will arrive in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day. And so that's coming up real soon. And boy, what a day that's going to be. A day we look back 2,000 years later in church history rejoicing in. And celebrating and thanking God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen, let's not forget that He is a person. He is the third person of the triune God. And we don't want to ignore Him. He's very personal. He loves us. He's with us. He's with you right now. And He's going to talk to you every day, a lot, if you let Him. The Holy Spirit likes to talk. Amen. He does. You listen to Him. If you listen to Him, He'll talk. And everything He says is perfect. And everything He says is helpful. And everything He says is comforting. And everything He does is for our good and for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's our God. That's the Holy Spirit. He is living in us. And He was going to come, and Jesus said it's just going to come real soon here. But I want us to see a couple things here as we come to a close. He came, and there's no longer any need for the Christian to wait. That's another reason that we see the difference between the baptism and the Holy Spirit. We don't see any more in Scripture where God says, you need to keep waiting. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit. We don't see that. We don't see waiting for it. We see very clearly that He came, and He's there. And so after the Spirit of God comes, after I get saved, the waiting part is over. I don't have to wait and keep asking for it. Lord, I know I'm saved, but do I have Your Spirit? I don't have to do that. He's there according to the Word of God. Because 1 Corinthians says in chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit by the Holy Spirit. Now, just a couple practical questions tonight just to ask you before we close in prayer. Here's the question. How do we know? We know we've been baptized if we've professed Christ as Savior. We know that. We've confessed Him as Savior. We've been given the Holy Spirit. But now, here's the question that you get a lot. How do you know if you're filled with the Spirit? Now, you know, we can easily go to the book of Galatians and we can say, well, is the fruit there? Well, that's true. But can I just suggest maybe a couple practical questions of how you know whether or not you are filled with God's Spirit? When I say filled, I mean controlled. Let me ask you this. It goes back to what I mentioned a minute ago. Do you listen to Him? Do you listen? Do you make it a point each day to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you? All right? You are His child. He is your God. He loves you. He's for you. He's guiding you. He's correcting. Do we listen to Him? Lord, speak. And that is an indication. If I don't listen to the Holy Spirit, I cannot be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I can't be filled. The other question is this. Do you yield to Him? So it's one thing to listen, but then it's another thing to say, Lord, You're exactly right about that. I need just to get that right. Lord, You know, You're exactly right. I really need to implement this in my life. Holy Spirit, I hear You talking to me about that. And I'm just, Spirit of God, I'm just going to listen to You right now and go ahead and do it. That is an indication of being filled with the Spirit of God. And it's a continually, you see, it's a relational thing. We're not talking about some rigid set of rules here, some checkoff list. No, we're just talking about a relationship with the Spirit of God in our lives. But then the third question is this, and you can, I guess, relate this to fruit. But here's the question. Do you see Him working in your life? Is He working? Do you see the Holy Spirit of God working in your life? And we can go all so many different places with that, with application. But, you know, like for instance, we talked about fear tonight, worry. Well, an indication that you are being filled with the Holy Spirit is you're not living in a life of worry. That's a fruit. You see God working. It's like I was talking to somebody the day. They said, Pastor, I was going through this in my life, but just recently I've seemed to be able to just grab a hold of some confidence and some encouragement. And you know, I didn't say this, but in my mind I'm thinking, yes, I believe God's Spirit is controlling you. And I believe that you are filled with the Spirit of God. We don't need to look at it as some far-fetched, mystical realm of spirituality to be filled with God's Spirit. People get, that's kind of discouraging. We just need to understand that being filled with God's Spirit is, number one, listening to Him. Number two, yielding to Him. And then number three, it's simply seeing the fruit that He's producing in my life. Because I know it's not Brinson Jennings. Anything that you've seen your pastor do since the time you've known me, if it's been good, I want to tell you, it's been because of Him. It's been because of the Holy Spirit. All right? It's Him producing the fruit. And in anything ugly that I've done, it was Brinson Jennings. Okay? I take blame for that. And I mean that. The Spirit of God will produce a fruit in your life, in your home, in your school, in your workplace. Is He working? That's a good way to see whether or not you're being filled with God's Spirit. Hopefully that is something we're all looking for tonight, listening for. Let's have a word of prayer together.